1 Timothy chapter 4, as we continue in our studies about the church and God's desire for what the church should look like and how they should act. Thankful that it is clear from the Scripture, and we must always stick to the Scripture, not our opinions or perspectives, but actually what the Scripture says, and we're thankful that it's clear for us. And we've been kind of looking at different particular groups as we've walked through this. Specifically today, we have the opportunity to zero in on church leadership and the idea of the pastor, elder perspective and what the responsibility is there. By way of update, I would love to share with you as you have prayed what God has done over the last several weeks when we presented 1 Timothy chapter 3 as an opportunity for us to develop leadership. As a healthy church, we want to be developing leadership from within. The Scripture tells us that God did give gifts, and part of that giftedness are to those who have a desire for ministry. And so I've had 7 men come, and we've talked about the possibility of them perhaps serving in pastoral leadership in our church on some level. Now, that involves a process where there would be a fair amount of training depending on the need, and then as well a process where the congregation would come alongside and evaluate giftedness, and then as well be a part of the process, if that's God's will, to ordain them to ministry. And so we talked about that at length in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I just wanted to give you an update, because the invitation in 1 Timothy chapter 3 is that if a man desires the office, he desires a good thing. And so as a church, we need to be providing opportunity for men who desire that office, and then as we understand the work of the Spirit in their lives and see giftedness, and that is an evaluation that takes place, and then if the Lord wills, extend a call from the church to be able to serve in that capacity. So we want to be faithful. So what does that look like? Well, there are a number of passages that speak to it, but the one that we're kind of right in the middle of started last week. Verse 11 says, prescribe and teach these things. So there must be a willingness to speak when necessary. In context, we're talking about keeping the gospel that Jesus revealed very clear and making sure that we don't add anything to it or take anything away. And so Timothy here is being challenged to maintain the truth that has been given to him at a young age. And as he continues to learn and grow and lead, he must stay faithful to the gospel. And then as well, it says, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but be an example. And so there must be a desire on a leader. And we took the application of that and extended it to all of our youth, as I think is appropriate from the Scripture. And so thankful for the young people that have, even those who want to share their gifts with the church and serve so faithfully. But we have the opportunity to continue to challenge and then not only challenge and say things, but model Christ-likeness. What does Christ-likeness look like? And so that is the second point there as far as church leadership is concerned. There must be a model of Christ-likeness. And that, again, we look at the Scripture as to what that actually means. Now, the third thing I'd like us to look at, and that's where we'll pick up in the text this morning, in verse 13, it says, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. The third aspect of excellence in pastoral ministry, I would say, is that there must be a commitment to lead biblical worship. There must be a commitment to lead biblical worship. True ministry is centered on the Scripture. And that is what we want. We want to be saturated with the truth of God's Word. From start to finish, we want the truth to permeate every part of our church life. And he says, until I come, he has bestowed upon Timothy this responsibility to give attention, which is in the present. It's a current command to continue to do this particular aspect of ministry and worship. Specifically speaking in this context is the public reading of Scripture. Now, I want to just help you understand, hopefully, this idea of the public reading of Scripture. One reason that the Scripture was read publicly was just, in a sense, because of a practical need. There weren't a lot of manuscripts where everyone would have the opportunity to read it for themselves. And so, because the printing press and technology and things like that were not available at the time, there were few manuscripts available, copies of the Scripture that were given to places like the synagogues and other places of worship. And so there was a need for the public reading of Scripture so God's people could hear the truth and understand what God had revealed to them. We can go back all the way to when God brought His children, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 24, it said they took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. So all the way back when God established the nation of Israel, we see this practice of the public reading of Scripture. Then you continue on through Joshua as they were about to go into the promised land. We see it again where Joshua gathered the people together and they read all the words of the law and the blessing and the curse according to all that was written in the book of the law. And then you keep going through the prophets and then Ezra and Nehemiah. And we have the regular reading of God's word to His people. Jesus Himself did this in Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. It says that He came to Nazareth and when He had where He had been brought up. And as was custom, He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and He stood up and read. So Jesus Himself continued this pattern of public reading of Scripture that had been started years and years ago. So Paul tells Timothy in this time and place, do not quit doing this, but give attention to the public reading of Scripture. And so when you come on a Sunday morning, you will hear us read through the passage of Scripture that we are going to teach on, because we want the Bible to be center. We want the Bible to be what we are explaining. And it goes on in verse 13, if you would look there, to exhortation and teaching. So there's this continual process. You read God's word and then you move from God's word to exhorting God's people and teaching. That is the responsibility of the leadership of the church. We looked at the qualifications in chapter 3 of those who desire to be a pastor or an elder. And part of it is the gift of teaching should be there. So Paul is encouraging young Timothy, who is the pastor of this church, to not neglect this aspect, but lead biblical worship. Let the word be central to all of your worship and read it publicly and explain it to people so God's people understand. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit. And we're thankful that almost everyone, if you had the desire, everyone who is here today could hold probably a copy of the Scriptures. In fact, there are some in the chairs in front of you if you do not have a copy. We would love to provide that. We want everyone to know what the Scripture says. And then we want to be very, very careful to communicate it. Sometimes that communication, as I talked last week, involves exhortation, which means we have to say the hard things. We have to rebuke sometimes. We're not perfect people. We're all in need of changing. We should come with hearts saying, God, I am broken. I am in need. I need redemption. And so we come with that humility to the Word of God. And sometimes we need the convicting work of the Spirit to challenge and change us. Also, counsel should be given. When we read passages of Scripture and we're not sure about a situation in life, how to deal with it, we look to the Scripture for our counsel. We stick to the Bible. That's what gives us the answers. Sometimes it's encouragement that God uses that we need to just keep persevering. And the Word ministers to our hearts in that way. So a faithful minister of the gospel will lead true biblical worship with sound teaching through all the seasons of life. I would suggest number 4. It tells us in verse 14, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery." So the 4th encouragement, and actually in the form of a command, is to fulfill one's calling, to be faithful to the calling that God has placed on those who are pastors of the church that God provides. Do not neglect. There's a temptation in every minister's life to leave the ministry. That's probably not something that's new to you, but if you have never served in a pastoral role or been in a church leadership position, you can't fully understand the pressure that is on one who serves in that way. And rightly so. It's not for every single person, but I can tell you, and any of the guys on our pastoral team, talk to Pastor Guy, who's been in ministry for all these years. He understands the pressures of ministry. Pastor Robert and Pastor Jerry, and then the guys who are training, they're beginning to understand the pressure that is on one to stay faithful to the calling. Because it's not always roses. It's not always easy. Many times there are hardships. I was trying to just understand my week. It was Friday afternoon and I was talking to the folks and I was just trying to remember what happened in my week, because I think I probably had over 20 meetings last week dealing with different folks and issues that they have in their lives. And that's why we are here. But imagine that on a regular basis and the pressure that is there to just keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. We as a pastoral team, we covet your prayers because we want to be a group of men who are faithful to our calling, but we're here for you and we want to serve you. And when God calls a man to pastor a church, as he has many of us, then it is important that we stay faithful to our calling. I mentioned 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. And by way of application, I want you to understand that you're not off the hook. You say, well, I'm not a pastor. I don't have to worry about it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each one has been given a gift. Employ it. It's a command. Employ it in serving one another. So every single believer in Jesus Christ has been given a gift by the Spirit. And you are not off the hook. You must fulfill your ministry as well. You have been gifted to serve for the season of time that you are here at Calvary Baptist Church. You have been gifted, and the encouragement can be the same to you. Do not neglect it. Be faithful. Let the Lord use you. If it's a matter of priority, prioritize your life so that the service that God has for your life with the gifts that He has given is made an important part. You say, well, I have so many things going on at work and with family and other responsibilities, and I understand all that. But this is not an option. These things are in the imperative. They're commands. So we must be faithful. Now, in Timothy's case, there was a very clear call of God, and it was says through the prophetic utterances. And now we don't have a lot of information. Chapter 1 talks about this as well, and we briefly touched on it when we went through chapter 1. But perhaps In the time we have special revelation given by a prophet to Timothy, saying that God had a task for him to do. And it was confirmed by the elders come alongside and laying hands on him. And so that was a very specific time. Remember, the scripture had not been closed at that time. The canon had not been closed. There was not multiple copies. And so God was still directing his revelation to individuals by the Spirit. And so we have a confirmation that Timothy was supposed to do this. Now, how does the call to ministry happen today? Well, I mentioned it when we went through chapter 3, but I just want to make sure it's clear, because sometimes we read passages like this and you say, there's been no prophetic utterances given to me and I haven't had this. And so maybe this is not something that directly applies to me. Well, I would say that we have to be very, very careful that we again take the scripture for what it says. That chapter 3 says, if a man desires the office, he desires a good thing. And from that point, then we watch as God's people, his giftedness, and evaluate, does he have the gift of teaching? Are there other things in his life that would indicate, yes, that is something that we see? And then the true call comes from a church. When a church says, yes, I see in this man a desire, qualifications, and I affirm through the church leadership, as is example here, that's when the true call to ministry comes. When a church actually says, yes, you should be a pastor. Sometimes men have a desire and they kind of self-proclaim themselves to be pastors. You can go on the internet and you can find all kinds of people who will say they've been called to ministry, but there's no church actually saying you're our pastor. And so you have to be very, very careful that God has established a very clear process. And we want to follow the scripture at every point. So a true minister must be faithful to his calling. I would say number 5, according to the text in verse 15, take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. So there's this idea of being immersed in one's work. And that's the challenge. I think that's the idea. Number 5, immerse himself in the work. A pastor should be immersed in it. It says, take pains, right? This is not always easy. Be absorbed in them. A pastor should desire to give his whole heart to the work of the ministry. And there should be this carrying out through planning and strategizing the pains. It's that idea of a strenuous effort. Someone who is consumed by his work. You know, most pastors are one call away from a crisis. You're always on call, so to speak. We have a rotation where every week someone takes the opportunities to go to the hospital and minister. And you guys may wonder about that. You're like, well, you know, who's going to show up when I have surgery? We have a rotation on that, and we all kind of enjoy that and take part in it. But we're always on call, and it's right to be that way. Now, I realize that you must be faithful to your family. That's clear in Scripture. You know, you have to stay balanced in life. But as Paul challenges Timothy, he encourages him to immerse himself. Preach the word, it says in 2 Timothy 4. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. And then the end of that verse, I would say number 6, that there should be a maturity happening in his walk with Christ. There should be a maturity that is happening. It says, so that your progress will be evident to all. So as one desires to lead God's people and follow Jesus, and the work of sanctification happens in the life of that man, then it should be evident that there is a maturity happening. Again, we're talking about young Timothy here. Remember, we said at 15 or 16, Paul took him on his first missionary journey. We fast forward 15 years, 30 years old. He's still young. There's still much to learn. And so the progress of maturity should be happening, and that should be happening in front of God's people. Back to the text, if you would. says in verse 16, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear. So the last and final encouragement that I would say is that there should be an evaluation regularly. There should be an evaluation regularly. It says, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. So as the weeks go by, the months go by, the years go by, there should be an intentional effort upon the man who is leading God's people. In whatever fashion or form that looks like, there should be a very clear evaluation to make sure that there is nothing that is coming into the doctrine or the teaching that would hinder or take them off track. So we want to stay very closely connected to the actual scriptures, not people's opinions, not people's perspective on things, but the actual scripture. And that's what we stand upon. And I realize that people differ on aspects of scriptural teaching. But there must be a commitment to evaluate regularly. And so on Tuesday mornings, we have a staff meeting for several hours and we evaluate the church and we evaluate our own lives. And that's a regular thing built in intentionally so that we can really continue to persevere in the task that God has called all of us to do. That is to be faithful. And the benefit of that, it says here, the benefit is that we ensure our salvation both for yourself and those who hear. Now, some read this and kind of pull it out of context and would say, see, you know, someone can lose their salvation and salvation actually depends on someone outside of yourself. And that would not be true because that would contradict what other passages of Scripture say. And we can never have a contradiction in the Scriptures. But what does this mean then? Well, I think it's the idea that as one leader of the church continues to persevere, evaluate, grow, progress, and leads the church along those lines, there's this perseverance that leads to the final day where our salvation will be made sight. And those who hear, perhaps who maybe even today, you've come in and you don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. There needs to be a clear teaching of God's word, a clear presentation of the gospel so that someone can truly understand salvation. And so the benefit of faithful preaching is that not only does the preacher persevere all the way to the end faithfully, but those who come and hear can find the true salvation and as well persevere in God's progress for their lives. So there are many responsibilities. If you have a desire to lead God's people, that's a wonderful desire. But it comes with great accountability. And it comes with a good amount of hardship as well. But there should be a belief in what God has brought about. Such a strong confidence that this is what God has done. That person then is faithful to be very careful to stick strictly to the Word of God, to lead biblical worship, model Christ-likeness, be faithful to the calling that the church has given, mature in such a way that people see the progress and the evaluation that is ongoing. So at any point, if there's a way or a track that's not right and appropriate, we hem ourselves in. We persevere all the way to the end. And so you say, well, you've been talking for a few minutes now and I don't fall into that category, so I'm off the hook. Well, you know how to pray now. Okay, so you're not. We need you. As the church family, we need your help. We need you to communicate with us. We want to be part of your lives. So there's this open invitation at any point to come And we will do our best to help you or point you somewhere where you can find the help that you need. And if there's a problem, if you're concerned about something, please communicate. That's all we ask. Just talk to us. It's so helpful when there's clear communication. But I will say to you all that you all have been gifted, may not be gifted for pastoral ministry, but you all have been gifted. And so as the screen says, don't neglect the spiritual gift. Be faithful to the Lord. Prioritize your life in a way so that you can serve your Savior faithfully. May God help us. Would you stand with me as we close our time together? In a moment, we're going to sing a couple verses of a hymn, "O Jesus, I Have Promised." And it's a commitment. And we need to be reminded on a regular basis of the commitment that we have made to follow Jesus. And Jesus says, you know what? You need to lay your life down. Follow me and serve me. And so perhaps you're at a place and you need to hear the exhortation of the word and say, you know what? I need to get busy. I need to, if I don't understand the spiritual gift, I need to understand that more. And I need to sign up and I need to be faithful. I need to find a place to serve. I need to get involved in someone's life so that He can use us to accomplish His glorious purposes. Let's pray and thank the Lord and then we'll sing. God, would You continue to stir up within us at Calvary a desire to serve You. Jesus, thank You that You laid Your life down. You set the example. You came to serve. God, I pray that we would be motivated out of Your love for us. That we would be faithful to use the gifts that You have given us. Help us to view our gifts as something that is a wonderful thing. And that we can be involved in people's lives. Whether that be children or teenagers, young people, adults, whatever You have, God. I pray that we'd be a church that is faithful in serving You. Thank You for this time this morning. Work for Your glory, we ask in Your name. Amen.